On this episode of the iPhoneography Podcast, we talk about winter weather shooting tips, not only for the camera, equipment, and yourself, and we go over our recent photos.
Hey everyone, it's Monday, November 21st, and my name is Greg McMillan. This is the iPhoneography Podcast, as you know, and with me is Dave Podner. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Greg.
Go ahead. Ask me how I am.
How are you doing? Yeah, we had a little pre-show chat and it, when you know someone's not feeling good, so hey bud, how's it going, bud? And you're like,
yeah,
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I smell like Vicks Vapo Rub all over my body.
Well, you know what? I have been getting some of that. Yes, because as you know, I'm in Canada, and some parts of this country have had a big, massive dumping of snow, not as big as Buffalo, but still bad enough. But it's early for that much to come all at once. It's not unusual to get some, but to get we've probably had, I'm going to guess, around 2.5 to 3 feet since Friday evening. I want to say no. Wait, sorry, Thursday evening, maybe Friday morning. And then it just quit. This is Monday. So it just quit yesterday afternoon. It kind of tapered off and it was just brutal. It just kept coming and coming and coming. But
crazy.
That kind of led us, and oddly enough, you were thinking this without me even mentioning it to you, about talking about, doing winter. They're doing photography in the winter months when it's cold. So we're going to get into that. But first, I want to just mention real quick, as everybody knows, I'm a real big fan of Glass, the photo sharing app, and they now have an Android app. So I know this is an iPhoneography podcast, but I'm sure there's people that shoot with Android that may listen. If you do, Glass has an Android app. And don't forget to check the show notes if you're not on Glass. You can get your first year subscription for $20 US with a link, and give it a look. It's pretty cool. Yeah. But now,
we're not anti-Android.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, we're not like some people are like, there's some people out there. It's like, whatever works for you, works for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the mobile photography community is one of the friendliest things around. And I mean, that's very evident in like Shane Mawson's Bloody Legends Facebook group, mobile only photography group on Facebook. There's another one. Well, I don't know. There's a few of them anyway, that are open to Android and iPhone. Yep. And I mean, everybody has a great time helping everybody else. So it's good.
Yeah.
So winter, shooting in the winter, taking photos, carrying your phone, getting out in the cold. That's what we're going to talk about on this time. So speaking of getting out in the cold, Dave, what do you got?
Sure. Well, the one thing to remember is if you're cold, shivering, wet, you're probably not going to enjoy being outside. And remember, the whole idea behind, at least for me, if I'm not enjoying taking pictures, what am I doing outside doing it? I should be doing something I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And if you're cold, wet, miserable, shivering, you're probably not enjoying yourself. So it's important for you to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So now, luckily, over the last 4 or 5 years, touch sensitive gloves are everywhere now. Because I remember when they first started to come out, winter gloves with the little silvery part on the pad for the index finger.
Yeah.
And they were amazing because you could use it while you were, you could keep the glove on there. You can use your touch screen of your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing. Well, they're everywhere now instead of being specialized gloves. So, for me, I should say this, unless you're in an exceptionally cold area, normal gloves are fine. And you, like I said, gain the time sensitive works great. Make sure you're warm enough. Actually, I admittedly, I'm a little unusual. I have three or four pair of gloves, winter gloves, but it depends on, you know, going from just somewhat chilly to how cold is it level. Yeah. So, and also dress in layers. You know, because as you're, if you're, let's say you're doing a walking to take photos, you're going to get a little warm. And if all you have is this big puffy parka that you see a lot of people buy for winter,
downfilled.
Yeah. Big old thing you can barely move in. you start to get warm. You can't unzip that to cool off without really cooling you off way too much. So, you know, layers make sense. Things with lots of pockets.
Yep.
And I know you're going to mention this when it comes to charging, but most of my coats also have some kind of inside pocket. And that makes for like accessories or anything else you want to carry along with you. Because one of the joys of using the phone is we don't have to carry 15, 20 pounds of gear.
Yeah, that's right. I don't travel miss that at all.
Exactly. But if you're still carrying a bunch of gear and it's a little slick and icy, you can throw your balance off and all of a sudden you go boom. So having stuff with pockets is a big deal. Honestly, I think that's the stereotypical photographer that has the vest with like 30 pockets on it. There's a reason why you have vests with lots of pockets. You can put lots of stuff in it.
Yeah.
We don't need as much stuff being iPhone photographers, but there are some stuff that we need.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't stop there. I mean, footwear, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you got to be careful, you know, again, something that's comfortable, you know, but gives you enough traction.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're doing trail walking, because trails are gorgeous when it's snowing. Mm-hmm. But, and this is something that I was reminded of for a run a little bit earlier, but it was after all the leaves fell. The course official said, hey, just remember it's dry, but all the leaves are down, so you can't see what's down there.
Yeah, we kind of touched on this on the last show. Yeah,
exactly. So, and as bad as leaves are, where you may have a hole in the ground or you may have a rut or, you know, a root coming up, you definitely can't see it in the snow. You know, that's even true, even if you're not on trails. You know, I know at least depending on where you live, most places require you to clear your sidewalk within 48 hours after the snow stops. But a lot of places, you may not have sidewalks if you're doing a walk, or you may have that little slick spot where freeze refreeze happens. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that is the worst, where the high temperature gets to be just above freezing at night, gets below freezing. So it gets warm enough to thaw out and then it refreezes overnight.
Yeah.
And then you got ice. And then if you got a little snow covering the ice, you know, have some. Now, if you're thinking it's going to be icy, I would say this. If you think it's going to be icy, unless you have to go out to take pictures, don't. But if it's something that you have to go out or you have, you know, like, oh, I have to get this picture, it's a beautiful, but it may be a little slick and icy. I know I have them around here. I'm assuming they have them up where you are. The little things you can put on the outside of the shoe or the boots.
Yeah.
Which either have little spring spirals or little studs on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just put them on. That way you can walk around like a normal person, slip it on when you're getting ready to go somewhere. And I've had those before and they work amazing.
Yeah.
You can walk on a sheet of ice and you are not slipping, falling or anything else. Because you're, you know, most of the time we want to focus on, you know, the not only the actual physical act of taking the photo. Okay. And don't forget, you can use the volume button as a shutter.
Yeah.
Or a remote shutter. That way, in case you do have really thick gloves on, you don't have to worry about using the screen that way. if you want to do it that way. But we're worried about that. We're worried about the composition, the lighting. A lot of times your feet, your footing is not on the top of your mind.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And if your footing's not on top of your mind in the summer or in the spring or even the fall, no big deal. No big deal. But if it's not on top of your mind in the winter, it will make sure you know it should be on the top of your mind. So yeah. A good pair of non-stick or, you know, warm, stay warm. And something that dries quickly too, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely dressing for the occasion. And I mean, I think the biggest point you made there was dressing in layers, because you can get overheated and, you know, you start perspiring, and if you, you know, open up your jacket and let the cold air in, well, that's, you know, then you've got the potential of getting freezing, you know, to the point where you may not warm up again. So, you know, definitely some good points there. So you alluded to charging, and so I mean, nothing's worse on a battery than cold weather. So especially when it gets like really cold, like, you know, here in Canada, it can get to, you know, minus 30 degrees Celsius, which is almost minus 30 Fahrenheit. You know, I think minus 32 is where they kind of actually line up. So carry, you know, if you have one, if you don't have one, they're not that expensive. You can get a little charging brick and take your USB cord with you, or your lightning cable or whatever, and you could keep the charging brick on an inside pocket, and you could have your phone out, taking your photos, and keep it plugged in. That way, you know, you've got that power source. It keeps the battery going. You know, it'll actually keep the battery a little warmer than it would be if it wasn't plugged in. Yeah. So it's always good to have one of those charging bricks with you, and just keep it on an inside pocket.
Well, also I'll mention that for my old phone, I had a battery case.
Oh yeah. That's
so
right.
So it actually just, it slipped in like a, it was thicker than normal case, but it just slipped on and it used the inductive charging.
Mm-hmm.
To charge. Now, admittedly, that was the iPhone 10, not the bigger ones. So, yeah. And they do have them. The thing to remember is those cases, they make it a little big and bulky, but sometimes you get a better grip being having that little extra bulk.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is drop your phone in the deep snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though they are pretty waterproof.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but just remember, every time that phone gets wet, first of all, getting a phone wet, if there's wetness that gets on the inside,
mm-hmm.
unless you have Apple Care Plus, that will void your warranty.
Right. Yeah.
So if they go, even they say, you know, it's IP67X or whatever it is, or 68 even if they say that, if they see water damage and you don't have that extra Apple Care Plus, they'll go, oh, this is water damage. This isn't covered.
Yeah.
And every time it gets wet, you lose water protection.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they're completely waterproof. They're pretty good. I mean, they say you can dunk it in for, you know, up to whatever, 3 meters for 30 mm-hmm. seconds or some darn thing or whatever it is. I mean, but I would never put my phone in any water unless I had a waterproof case on it. But, but anyway, yeah. So you don't want to drop it. You want to, you know, a big thick battery case would help. If you don't have that, then put the brick in your pocket and run a cord out to it, and Bob's your uncle. Another thing that I've run across is sometimes I use a tripod in the winter, and carrying a tripod can be, you know, sometimes I take my gloves off and, you know, my hands get too warm or whatever. My tripod has two out of the three legs have foam attached right to them, so that when you're carrying it, you're not holding on to the cold steel or metal of the tripod and freezing your hands. So that is so nice to have. And if your tripod doesn't have that, you can buy like this foam stuff that you can wrap your copper pipes with in your house for installation, and you just tape them on and they'll do the same thing. It just keeps your hands free from, you know, in the fall, say late fall, early spring, whatever, you may not need to wear gloves all the time like you would in the middle of winter. But So, you know, you tend to not take the gloves with you, but you're carrying that tripod. And if it gets cold, that's the last thing you want to do is hang on to that metal all the time. So shooting in the winter, in my experience of shooting snow, you always want to overexpose a little bit just because the camera, and this works with any camera, and phones are no exception. Any camera will expose this. It'll try to meter the snow at 18% gray. So if you go out and just take a picture, so I mean, honestly, the newer phones, they're getting better. I've taken pictures with my iPhone since we've had this pile of snow come, and the snow usually does turn out pretty decent. But on a cloudy, on overcast day, you have to watch that. Sometimes that snow can get too dark and look gray, because the camera's trying to expose it or meter it at 18% gray. And so sometimes it doesn't hurt to, when you tap to focus, drag your finger up a little bit to overexpose it, but you just watch it. You don't blow any of it out. If you use a third-party app that has a histogram, you can keep an eye on that and make sure it doesn't go too far to the right where you're cutting the histogram off. But definitely, you know, try to overexpose a little bit. If it's too bright when you're you know, looking back at it in your editing app or whatever, you know, you can bring it back down. That's fine, but you don't want to go too high. You don't want to lose data, you know, by overexposing too much. Mm-hmm. If you forget to do that, don't worry. It's a lot easier to pull detail out of the shadows than it is the highlight. So you can always bring it up in post. But sometimes you want to get it right in camera and just overexpose a little bit. So that, you know, that brings me to my next point here about overcast days. You know, they're okay when shooting. You know, I would say it depends on what you're shooting, but you know, there's nothing nicer than a bright sunny day in the winter, you know, with bright blue skies and nice pure white snow with, well, trees or whatever, and to make a great shot. You know, so that's some of the best times I like to shoot in the winter, not so much the summer because of the harsh shadow highlights and stuff. But in the wintertime, you know, you've got nice white snow, brilliant blue skies, and if you've got, you know, some buildings or something like that in the image, you know, they show up real nice.
I would also say that with snow on the ground, that's a built-in reflector.
It was, sorry?
A built-in reflector.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you basically, so you, that's why, you know, like you said, trying to think of, you know, well, why isn't, like in the summer, you have those really harsh lights. Well, yes. In the winter, you have it reflecting off the snow, off the ground, back up.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't get as many harsh features.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
And that's the other thing to remember is that you're going to have to deal with light from multiple angles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the reflecting off the snow.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a really good point. You know, the sun shines on that snow, especially in midday, and it's so bright, especially if there's no cloud cover at all, that yeah, that does reflect it up. And I'm going to have to look at some of my images that I've taken recently and see if that is the case. I never really thought of that, but that's a good point. you know, speaking of light, you know, pay attention to the light, especially in the morning or the evening. You've got warm light, and warm light can really make your winter photography look fantastic. I remember last winter I took a picture of these trees. It was getting near late afternoon. So, I mean, that's like 3:30, 4 o'clock around here in the wintertime, you know, because the sun goes down so early. But, you know, the light is so warm and nice when it's shining on the trees and stuff, and it just warms up the snow. It's real pleasing to the eye. So, you know, just kind of pay attention to the light and what it does, you know, in the scene. And, you know, you could come up with some pretty darn nice shots that way. Mm-hmm. But speaking of light,
yep, we do have now this time of year Christmas lights everywhere, or we're starting to. I'm actually see a few people actually have their Christmas lights up from early November, even though I think traditionally in the U.S., it's this weekend when people put it up, just around Thanksgiving.
Right.
So you have the full month. And this is honestly, this is the fun part, because when you hit January and February, in the beginning part of March, it's still dark early. It's dark late. You still have the cold. You have the snow, but you don't have the nice lights to look at.
Right,
so it does make it look a lot nicer. So Christmas lights, Christmas lights are always fun. And if you have a 13 or 14, it will do an amazing job with Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, there are times, remember, I remember from last year that it didn't even go in the night mode.
It did a lot.
There was enough lights. Well, it also depends on how much lights we're talking about. There's a couple people here who go all out with their lights, and there's enough light coming off. It takes it like a regular photo, and it's a live photo. So, but one thing to remember is the 0.5 zoom, the wide, I think we're calling it now, instead of the ultra wide, since it's now main wide and telephoto.
No, there's on the 14 Pro, there's the ultra wide, then there's the main.
Okay, so ultra wide mainly. And the
telephoto, yeah.
But the ultra wide, which for framing would be good, is not as good in low light.
Yeah.
So if you actually go and click on the top of the phone where you get the little triangle arrow part, and you can change your format to 16:9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doing 4:3 to 16:9, I know it looks like it's zooming in a bit, but you get a much wider shot. So if you're just trying to get all the lights, let's say in front of someone's house or like a community display where you're trying to get an entire scene, doing that 16:9, you may actually be able to get a lot more in. And if you need to, you know, being careful if it's near a road, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you may need to back up to get the full shot in. And, you know, it's always good. I think people trying to think of, I want to overwhelm you with this light display. And some of them, you do want to do that because they are overwhelming. But, you know, just putting it in balance. Yeah. And like I said, use the main, because that is the best light gathering, is that main.
Yeah.
And I still think it is better in low light, like when you're doing Christmas lights, to crop versus using the 3X, 2.5, 3X zoom lens. Because that zoom lens still doesn't, even though it's better in the 14, it still doesn't do it when it comes to low light. You know?
Yeah.
And even if you do hit the zoom to 3X, if the camera doesn't think you're doing, it's like, oh, there's not enough light, it will crop it for you without telling you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the other thing, if you're taking pictures via the car, which we do occasionally, try to stop the car if you can.
Yeah. Don't use the car as a tripod or you know, unless it's shut off.
exactly. But I mean, like, we've driven by, and let's say Roos in the passenger side, I'm driving past it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stop, but it depends if there's traffic behind me.
Yeah.
You know, if there isn't, I will stop the car, and she will try to, especially if it's cold enough and dark in the night. You don't necessarily want to stop the car, get out, and try taking a photo, unless you're depending on the road also.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but yeah, definitely, and keep your eyes open. And I would say that if you're driving a particular road, like sometimes, I need to go to the store, I'm on my way home, and I'm the only one in the car, I'll drive by someone, or I'll notice the light display, and I'm like, well, I can't stop now, I need to go home, need to do that. Just keep a mental note saying, oh, that house there.
Yeah.
Or this area here. Or,
you know. They're trying to compete with the Griswolds. I'm going to come back and get that one.
Exactly. Or, and this is something that they've done actually since Ruth was a younger person. Our main road here. You have people lit up on it. You know, they you know, there's almost a light tunnel feel because people on either side of the road light up. And the way our road goes, there's like, it's hilly enough where you kind of come up, you go down in a dip and then back up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on top of one of these dips, you can see the entire road kind of going down and lights on either side.
Yeah.
So if you have a situation where you can do like, you know, maybe a wide shot, or if you want to do more of a up down narrow shot, you can try the 16x9 vertical, not just horizontal, and get that feel, the light just kind of going on either side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool. You know, and a lot of communities have public displays, right?
Exactly.
Like where I live, we have a section of downtown that's all lit up with different things from different companies that put their displays in. And it, you know, it goes right down the main street goes straight down to through a long residential area down into the local park. And down in through the park, there's all kinds of lights. So, I mean, there's lots of opportunities to even just walk around and get these kind of photos. You could do light trail stuff that you know, there's all kinds of options. You don't have to just point and shoot. You can, try some, like using live photos, Dave, you can walk along and move the camera real quickly, taking a live photo, toggle it to long exposure, and you've got some nice light streaks,
right?
And you could use live photos, or you can go so far as to use something like slow shutter cam or re-expose or even reflex or even longer. A lot of these apps, you can just use them handheld. You don't have to put them on a tripod, and you can just do some light painting that way. So with Christmas lights, it'd be a pretty cool thing. Anything else you could think of for winter stuff, Dave?
Not offhand. Just remember that don't let the fact that it's cold stop you from taking photos.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you have to take a little more precaution and just being a little extra careful. But, and I know this is something that ticks me off about local weather and traffic people. Is now I know it's their job to be cautious, and they need to make sensational sounding. But like around here, they'll say, oh, we could get an inch or two of snow very quickly. And I'm like, okay, if you're out in it and if it's coming down like 2 inches an hour,
yeah,
that's an issue. That's an issue. Mm-hmm. If they're saying like, oh, and this is, this is me coming from a Pittsburgh man point. It's like, oh, well, over the next day or two, we're going to get an inch or two or snow. Like, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they make it sound like it's like Snowmageddon, get your bread, get your milk, get your toilet paper, get ready for it. Now, admittedly, 3 feet of snow for us would kind of paralyze a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sure bogged us down up here too. And we're in, everybody looks at Canada as a cold and desolate wasteland, but it's, it's not that bad, but keep an eye on the forecast and plan your outings. There's nothing like fresh fallen snow on trees and things like that. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And for our listeners who are south of the equator going into summer now, sorry. Sorry, it's you'll have your winters too, so this stuff could maybe come back and listen to this in 6 months from now or whatever, but this is the kind of thing that, like, we have I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that are going to have to deal with snow, and if we could do a show on shooting in the desert, we would, but Dave and I don't live in a desert, so no. we're experiencing winter right now. Do you have snow there, Dave, at all?
No, we had one day where we had just a little bit of light snow, but
yeah,
maybe an, like I said, maybe an inch. The only problem is it came down quick, and it was more of a, the roads were clear. It was just that it, we had whiteout conditions.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it was more of a driving, but by, you know, even that day, there wasn't anything left on the grass. So, you know, it's not like Buffalo that had, you know, 6 to 7 feet of snow.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, we weren't as bad as that. We had about 3 feet in 24 to 30 hours or so. So that was a lot.
That would have been a record for us.
Yeah.
That would have been close to, as they say, the, there was in Pittsburgh, there was two, there's been two notable snowfalls in most people's lifetimes. The 1950 Thanksgiving snow, where basically we got 2 feet of snow on Thanksgiving. And the other one was the St. Patrick's Day snow of 93.
Oh, yeah.
Where mid-March, we had 3 feet of snow. And that's, again, we're talking early in the season, late in the season. One year, like 2012, 2011 in February, we had like 2 feet of snow. But, you know, that's, the St. Patrick's Day was more memorable because they still had the parade going on in the middle of the 3 feet of snow.
Oh, wow. I can remember it. I'll just touch on this real quick and then we'll move on. But St. Patrick's Day here, about, I want to say 9 or 10 years ago, there was a Van Halen concert in Toronto. And my brother and a buddy of mine from work and I, whenever Van Halen comes to Toronto, we go. So this St. Patrick's Day, it was about, I want to say about 70 degrees in town here where I live. It was absolutely beautiful. And that's pretty warm for that time of year here.
Wow.
But when we got to Toronto, it was probably about 60 Fahrenheit because it's down by the water on Lake Ontario. And but luckily in Toronto, there's an underground place where you can walk all over the place.
The underground mall area.
So,
yep.
Yeah. And so we were well sheltered. But, you know, so I mean, it just goes to show you that it could get, I've seen a Thanksgiving. Now we have Thanksgiving here in Canada in October. Mm-hmm. And I saw one Thanksgiving where it was about probably 85 to 90 degrees at Fahrenheit or about 35 Celsius. Mm. So we went out to the local beach and there was people out there swimming. And this is like the third week or whatever of October. And I mean, so it could get pretty crazy, but, anyway, so, you know, that those are our tips for shooting in the cold weather. And I'm sure at some point you're bound to run into it somewhere. And so now we're going to move on to our recent photos. And we'll go through yours first, Dave.
Okay.
You got some real rippers here. photo, as Shane would call them. So I've got them pretty much in the order that you sent them to me.
Okay. So the first one was taken in my backyard at sunset. And this was taken as a raw photo.
Okay.
And the sunset was just one of those.
Oh, and I keep forgetting to do this, but everybody look at your phone screen. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Overcast, or one of those podcast players that supports enhanced podcasts.
Yep. But if you're not driving.
And if, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. But if not, go to the website and they'll be there.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. And it was just, we've had a spell of just amazing sunset, just really vibrant, colorful sunsets. So, and I don't know why, I don't remember this happening last year, but our lilac bush in the back is blooming. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. But we had some 70 degree days there. 60-70 degree days. So up until 2 weeks ago, it was abnormally warm. So during the sunset, it's a lot of times I like to run up the hill because it's high enough where I get a nice view looking west on top of the hill over the houses, And I just went behind the lilac bush and was able, like I said, I did this in RAW, so I did some editing in Lightroom Mobile. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get it where you could see the light purple of the lilac.
Yeah.
And get it sharp. And I want to say this was not portrait mode. It was just a matter of focusing on something that close that gave it more of a natural bokeh, not a software bokeh.
Yeah. Well, if you're shooting RAW, you couldn't use portrait mode anyway, right?
True. True. Yeah. And I just thought about because I figured it would have some looking right. I'm looking right in the sunset. So I knew I was going to have a lot of heavy shadows. So I just wanted to see if I could pick up the light, the flowers, which are white and light purpley or pinkish even lilac. And luckily it turned out really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a blazingly, brilliantly bright sunset. We get some nice ones here, but I haven't seen one this bright in a long time. So that's pretty cool. And I mean, I love the way the sky goes from really, really bright orange at the horizon line. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, 25, 30 degrees up, it starts to turn nice blue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you got some trees on the horizon line. You can just, they're really blurred because of the bokeh, but you can see that they're trees and obviously they've lost their leaves.
Yep. But they're just sticks right now. Yep.
But it gives you a sense of depth too in the image.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And speaking of sticks, your second photo.
So this was taken during, just a lunch walk I took. And this was with, I'm trying to zoom it out there. This was taken with the ultra wide.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just me going up to a tree. And just when I was looking up and the angle where the branches had this almost arterial look to them. You know, it almost looks like if you look at the, blood vessels inside of a lung.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It has that kind of look to it.
Yeah.
And just how stark and sticky everything was. There's a couple of evergreens in that area, but pretty much everything is, all the leaves are down. They've been down for a while.
Yeah.
And it was just a little bit, it wasn't like a bright, bright blue day. It was overcast, but there's still enough blue to give you a little bit of contrast there. And I just happened to look up and do that ultra wide so I can get the entire tree in from base all the way up.
Yeah.
And I did some editing in Lightroom Mobile just to bring out some of the highlights in the tree bark.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a solid dark there. Yeah. Yeah. That turned out really well.
Yeah.
And again, trying to get a lot, just because it is the stick season. And as Matt Hoffman calls it, stick season, and we didn't have any snow. So just trying to get almost like the starkness of it all, you know?
Yeah. And I like that you got some blue patches of blue sky up in there too, in the clouds. It kind of, gives it a little bit of color, a little bit of liveliness, breaks up the monotony of it, and actually makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So this next one here, I called it Dave's Boneyard.
So this was actually taken after my wife Ruth this past Saturday had a, sorry, Leo. There was a Christmas hometown event, and we took Ruth had a a tent up there for her jewelry. And of course, you have to park a good amount away because there's no parking. Yeah. And right where I parked was right across from a church and an old cemetery. And I just loved it. It was just bright enough that it wasn't completely dark, but this was still night mode. And just the cemetery, because it's a little cemetery in the middle of Oakmont, middle of town, There's really, it's relatively small. You can tell it's, looking at the headstones, you can tell it's a very, very old cemetery.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But it just almost had a feeling of, I know we're past Halloween, but it almost had a Halloween ghosty feel to it, especially with no leaves. There were just one tree had a little bit of leaves left.
Yeah.
But everything else was a stick, and there was the street lights lighting up the headstones there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was, of course, after 5 hours about being out in the cold, going out, looking at that, taking a quick picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And going, okay, good. I'll look at it later when I warm up.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, so did you shoot this in 16 by 9?
I did. Yeah.
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 It looks good that way too. I think if you would have left it four by three, there'd be either too much, you know, trees in the top or too much grass mm-hmm. in the bottom. So as far as composition goes, I think you nailed it pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
And it's got that kind of spooky, eerie feeling about mm-hmm. it for sure. You know, especially with the lack of leaves and all that stuff. Like there's nothing bright and cheery about, about it at all, really. And that's the whole point.
Exactly. And you can't tell it from the photo, but I literally just came from this big cheery Christmas celebration
with,
you know, everything going on and Santa coming down on fire truck and all these people. And then you're walking up and there's this creepy, you know, cemetery feel.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's cool. This is November. We're recording this on November 21st. So had you had this 3 weeks ago, we could have had it in time for Halloween, but
true.
But yeah, no, it's a really interesting shot. And, you know, I love shooting, you know, old cemeteries like this too. We have a couple mm-hmm. of old cemeteries around here and you just get some real interesting stuff there. So mine are going to contain, guess what?
That four letter word.
Yes. The first one is quite frankly a shot out of my front window. We were sitting in the living room, you know, probably tired from shoveling and dealing with the snow. And all of a sudden the sun popped out. And it just happened to be late in the afternoon. And so the sun was low on the horizon and it was shining straight on these houses across the street. And these two houses have these birch trees on their front lawns. And I mean, they not only look awesome in the fall when their leaves turn a really nice bright yellow, but in the wintertime when the snow falls like it did, they get all this snow on the branches and there's a big pine tree in the background. You know, it just made for what I thought was a pretty cool picture. So this was probably taken, I'm just going to try to look at the data here. I think it was with the 2X
Okay, the new 2Xer.
I think so. I can't tell right now by looking at it, but yeah, it was either the 2X or the 3X. And so all I did for editing really was in darkroom, I saturated it a little bit. I actually bumped up the whites just a little bit. There's that thing about the snow, right?
Yep.
The snow was just a tad darker, so I wanted to brighten up the brighter parts of the snow where the sun was hitting it. So I bumped up the white slider and a little bit of saturation and vibrance, maybe a little bit of contrast. And I was thinking I could have done something with the sky, but no, I kind of liked it the way it was. If I did anything with the sky, I would have tried to darken it down maybe a little bit to give it a little more drama. But I think even like in darkroom, there's masks. And if I picked the sky mask, it wouldn't have done a very good job at picking in between all the little branches. So I don't think it would have been as effective. It may have had an issue,
yeah. Yeah, and doing straight blue just trying to change the color blue, you would have picked up the snow on the roofs, because the snow on the roof almost matched the tone of the sky itself. So just trying to connect that, you would have problems with that.
Yeah. So, I just decided not to even bother with the sky. I just let it go where it was. But I just really liked the warmth that the sun had on these houses, on the red brick houses. And of course, saturating them really helped too. But this is probably, I want to say that the point I took this photo, I think we got a little bit more. I think we got another half a foot to a foot more after this photo was taken. So, I mean, that just goes to show you how much we got. Wow. So my next photo.
That's just crazy.
Oh yeah, it's brutal. My next photo is of a door. I love certain doors. Like, if it was a red door, I think it would be awesome. But I really like sometimes a nice door to a house or whatever. This is a friend of mine and, her place here, and she's got a pine and cedar bow or whatever they call it.
Okay. Yeah. Off on the left.
Decorative thing. Yep. Just a branch basically with a ribbon on it and a bit of snow. And on the one side of the door, and on the other side of the door, there's a wind chime, but a shovel sitting there. Of course, what would winter be in Canada without a shovel by the door? And, and then of course there's the brown door, but the building is all wood with these, little strips of, or slats or whatever.
The slats, yeah.
Yeah. And I just, when I saw that, I thought that looks really cool. So I had to take a picture of it. And,
now is that on the window part, is that just plastic they have on there just to keep the heat in?
This is actually, part of the garage. So,
for privacy then probably.
Well, there's reflection. There's a lot of reflection on there. Like, I had to actually step over to the side or I would have had myself in the picture. So there's a lot of reflection on the window, but, I think maybe too, that it could be a frost. Forming on the glass.
Because it almost looks like a I know you can get the plastic sheet to go over the windows to keep the heat in.
Yeah.
You know, stop drafts. But yeah, okay, I can see that being frost. And especially when you mention it's a garage, I'm probably not heated then.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's heated or not. But yeah.
So that makes sense on that then.
But there's even snow built up in the wind chime.
yeah, which is a neat little thing.
Yeah, and on the shovel, like just sitting on top of the shovel, like the shovel obviously sat there for a little bit before the snow stopped falling. But yeah, you know, I just like pictures of doors, especially if there's, you know, some kind of decorative element to it. But it would have been kind of cool if there's a wreath on this one. But being the garage, I can see why that wouldn't be. But,
yeah.
So my third one, this was taken. Last night, I believe it was. Yes, it was last night. And when the snow finally quit, we decided, so the door, that was earlier today. The first shot, it was, I forget what day it was, maybe Saturday, you know, during a little break in the snow. But so then this third one here, it's a gazebo down at the park, and they had the lights on it. I don't know if it's just because they have the, you know, the Christmas light display going, that they had the lights on this thing. But I thought, yeah, that looks really cool, especially with these enormous pine trees that surround this thing. And believe it or not, on the other side of it, there's a restaurant. You can't even see it for all the trees, but there's a restaurant there too. And,
Between the trees and the snow.
Yeah.
Kind of filling in the gaps in the trees. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I took a bunch more pictures of the street lights that are in amongst the trees around in the park here. And I've got a video I'm going to put on, I'll put it on the Tiny Shutter or the iPhonography podcast now, Facebook group, and in the Shane Mostyn Bloody Legends Facebook group. Sorry. And, I'll probably put it. Where else can I put it? I might even throw it on Twitter if I can. But anyway, I'll have it out there. It's just a video I took of, you know, driving through the streets and some still pictures I took of around. And this will be in it, that I did all this stuff, put it together to music. It's just under 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, I was just, we went down to the park and we finally got the dog out for a little walk because she's been cooped up. Mm-hmm. And so my wife's walking the dog, you know, down and around the area and that. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to take pictures of the lights around the trees and things like that. So, this was with the, I want to say again, the 2X. That's got to be my favorite camera.
So you're really, phone. You're, I may say you're really loving the 2X now.
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, looking at the data, it's 48 millimeters. So that's the 2X. And, gosh, I think I just did a point and shoot. I don't think I did anything else to it. Hmm. Now I did the editing in darkroom where I did bring a little bit out of the shadows, of the pine tree on the left in the foreground. And, I think I may have added a slight vignette to it and actually bumped up the saturation just a little bit to enhance the color of the gazebo itself. So, but you know, unless we get another nice big fresh snowfall, this won't look as good as it does now, no, especially, you know, with the, when the mild weather comes, it just gets all dirty and that. So, but, yeah, it was probably my favorite shot of the evening last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really, really nice. In fact, I could see that being almost a brochure shot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, it's. I just love it when we get fresh snow on the big pine trees.
Yeah, it's on the roof. You can definitely tell how the just the edge, the bottom edge of the roof there, this snow and how fresh it looks on there. Like you said, 2-3 day old snow. You can tell, and this is something I mentioned to Ruth, is like you can tell holiday movies are written by people who live in California, or if you go to the old ones. There are people who grew up maybe in New York, lived in New York, then moved to California or Florida.
Yeah. And then forgot what it was like.
Yeah. Or they remember, oh, it was so wonderful when the snow first hit. It was, and then they forget 2-3 days later when you're trying to go through the muck and the snow and the half frozen slush. And it's like, But as I saw one person on TikTok say, as they're cleaning off the car, there's no giant bugs near here. There's no hurricanes around here. Yeah. There's nor tornadoes around here.
Yeah, really. but there's a ton of snow.
Oh yeah.
What was I going to say? The one thing I didn't do was kind of go to touch retouch and take out some of these little green orbs from the lights. So if you look in the tree in the foreground. There's a green orb there and a couple more, but
they're really hard to tell, to be honest.
I'm just going to say they're Christmas light bulbs.
I mean, they look like it. Honestly, they look like it. And also, they almost, if not necessarily light bulb, just light coming through the trees.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah, there's only, and they're small. So they're, I would say the fact that they're off center, you know, and they're not bright. They're not like, you know. There's not a lot of contrast.
Yeah, they are pretty dim.
So it's really hard to notice them.
And I also wanted to mention, too, that, you know, a little tip on getting a really nice winter shot is to try to find a place where nobody has walked through it. Mm. You know, that, and that's the nice thing about this is nobody, there wasn't too many people out last night. People were still either digging out or maybe passed out from shoveling all day or whatever, but there wasn't too many people out, and I was able to get a nice shot with no footprints through the snow. So that's my winter shots for now. I'll probably have more as the season progresses, but so now before we sign off, I wanted to say we've got a new website. So don't go to iphonography.ca just yet. I'm in the process of getting that switched over to the new site. The old site was on WordPress. WordPress went down after an update for I don't know how many days. and I got tired of it. So I went on to a website called Wix, W-I-X.
Okay.
And I got looking around and thought, okay, there's some pretty nice options here. And so I ported all the data over from the WordPress site and imported it into Wix. It was easy peasy. All the posts are there. Any posts that had photos, they're all there. And and I think it looks kind of decent. So, and it even looks really good on a phone or on a tablet. So I don't recall what the whole URL is offhand, but there will be a link in the show notes, and I'm just going to call it, like, you know, the podcast website or something. You click on that and it'll take you to it. But eventually iPhonography.ca will work on that website. And then,
okay,
you know, just for the heck of it, I'm just going to try again real quick. Nope. And okay, see if it's actually working yet. And it's not yet. So I got some figuring out to do there, but yeah, it's a whole new design. Still has that nice clean look, I think, but it's, you know, the color scheme of the podcast logo and all that stuff. So I think it looks pretty cool, and that's going to be the home going forward for any new posts in that. And the nice thing about it is the podcast feed. There's a link up at the top called, you click on it, it just says podcast, and that takes you to all the shows where you can listen to them online. So I know some people like to, you know, listen while they're sitting at their computer or whatever. It's mm-hmm. a great place to listen to them, and they're all there. And while you're listening, you can have the blog part open in another tab where you can look at the blog post and see the images that we're talking about. Hmm. So, kind of two birds with one stone there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a cool thing. And you know what the nice thing is about this, Dave? The darn thing was free.
Oh, that's all. That free is good.
Yeah.
Free is good. Because WordPress was not for you. You didn't use the free WordPress, right?
No, I was paying a big chunk of change for that thing. Ooh. And, when it went down like that, and I'm thinking, well, what am I paying for? I'm paying for somebody to get a 404 error or whatever the heck it was that would pop up. It's free. You know, it's still, I don't know how much stuff we could put on it before, like, I don't know how much free space, there is type of thing before I may have to start paying for it. I don't know. If that day ever comes, I'll deal with it then. I'll have to find another way or another site to move it to or whatever. Or maybe just pay for it or whatever. But I mean, I looked at Squarespace. It's supposed to be a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be kind of comparable to the WordPress site, but Squarespace never goes down. You know,
Squarespace has a great reputation.
Yeah. I mean, they stayed up during, I forget which hurricane it was that hit New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But there was guys taking cans of gas up to a generator, how many stories to keep their website going
mm-hmm.
during that hurricane because the power was out. So they had a generator feeding everything. And you know, the people that worked there were hauling cans of gas up, jerry cans of gas up to this generator just to keep the website going. And they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so that was an option. I was looking at that, and then I just thought, you know, I'm just, you know, I had it all ready to go. All I had to do was hit buy, and I was going to pay for it. There's got to be something else out there. So I looked at Wix. You know, I actually did a search for best free websites, whatever, and Wix came up near the top. So I checked it out, and bang, there it is. So yeah, new home for it. And I think it looks pretty cool. It looks good on mobile too. So anyway, all right. Well, I guess we got ourselves a show. Let's tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on, so far, as long as it's still running, Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon as ProfPod. And you can find me on TikTok as ProfProd. PGH. And right. The iPhonography Facebook group is Dave Podner Jr.
Right. Okay. And you can find me on Glass at Greg. You can find me on Vero at just my username, Macmillan. And on Twitter for now, Macmillan _photo. On Instagram, sometimes at Macmillan Photo. And I'm on Mastodon as well. We still got to get those links figured out. I don't know about you, Dave, but I haven't spent a whole lot of time on there recently. But
just a little bit, but not a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So folks, we're still figuring that out. But anyway, go to about.me/Macmillan and you'll see all my links and stuff there. So, all right. Well, Dave, hopefully you don't get the snow that we got. And
I think we're good for now, but yep.
If you do, I feel for you.
I say, be careful with your back too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm luckily I don't have to go to work until Friday night, so I've got the rest of the week to hopefully recuperate. There's no snow in the forecast, so that's a good thing. And we'll see what happens. But anyway,
sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. We will see you all in the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.